I am so excited today as we start a new study from the book of Romans chapter 12 verse 2 is our reference scripture for today and the text focus for our beginning this study. This is the study of having a biblical world view. And this is a study that's going to take a while. Just quite honestly, it's probably going to take all year. But we're not going to be in Romans chapter 12, verse 2 all year. But, you know, this biblical worldview study is going to require quite a bit of time. But my prayer is that it changes myself as well as those who hear. That we may all have a true biblical worldview. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will of God, and that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we bow before you today, praying for the guidance of your Holy Spirit as we examine your word. Father, speak to us that we may know that we have heard from you. Father, glorify your name through the speaking and the teaching of your word, that decisions will be made for your glory. Lord, we place this service into your hands. This is your service dedicated to you. I pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As I said, this is the beginning, the introduction of a biblical world view. And in the coming weeks, kind of give you a direction in where we're going. We're going to talk about a lot of things. We're going to talk about some really difficult subjects, as a matter of fact. We're going to talk about things like gender, what it means to be a man, what it means to be a woman, what happened to men and women in the fall. We're going to talk about character, things like addiction, conflict, anger. Y'all don't have any problems with any things like that, do you? And we breezed right through that part then. We're going to talk about marriage, dating, intimacy, divorce. We're going to talk about, we're even going to talk about the political landscape. How do you respond to the politics of today? And how do you respond to just the landscape of today, homosexuality, transgender, tolerance, temptation. We're going to talk about parenting. We're going to talk about, oh, the one that I'm really excited about is the future, the rapture, 7-year tribulation period, 1,000-year reign of Christ, and then the new heaven and the new earth. And that's going to be a wonderful section. There's so much looking forward to it. You know, as children of God, we have a lot to look forward to. But we are living in the here and now. And that's why we have to have a biblical world view. And we start with understanding what we mean when we say biblical world view. And that is basically the attitudes and values and expectations that you have about the world that will determine your thoughts and your actions. Your biblical world view will determine your thoughts and your actions. But see, today, the challenge of this message today, basic introduction, but I'm going to ask you from the very beginning, decide. Make your choice as what your worldview is going to be. I ask you to think about that right now. I ask you at the end of this message to make that choice. A common, no questions, no doubt, this is where I stand. We start with Paul's words. Be not conformed. Don't be conformed specifically to this world. You have to understand what the word conform means. It means to be shaped by something. So this instruction basically is, do not let this world shape you. because that's what it's trying to do. As a matter of fact, it's very difficult not to let this world shape us, because daily we're being bombarded by influences and information that attempts to change how we think and how we live. And you can't escape it. For example, the media. Media is a great influence in... it's not a great influence. It's a big influence in our world today. And media is a wonderful tool. But let me tell you, you better master media or it will master you. Okay? What you see will stick with you. What you hear will stick with you. You know, I'm not a big Facebook guy. I breeze through and check on everybody on occasion. But one thing I do, one thing I was doing here not too long ago, is I was watching some videos. It came up on my feed and I got to watching videos. You ever do that? You start watching one and boy, it just keeps feeding and feeding and feeding. And so anyway, there was this one video that was about these varmint hunters who were hunting things like coyotes, wild pigs. And they were doing it at night. And in this video, you were looking through the scope that they were looking at. Now listen, me being my background, little country boy, I like things like hunting and stuff. And kind of like guns and things that, you know. And so it caught my eye. And I said, whoa, let's watch this. And I didn't know they had this stuff. These guys were hunting at night. It was pitch dark. But they would look through that scope and you could tell exactly what they were looking at. Coyotes, hogs, deer. You know, you could tell the difference. I'm sitting there saying, wow, this is so cool. I sat there for several minutes. The video ended. Scroll up. Here comes another one. These people are deer hunting. Okay, this is cool. I'm going to watch them deer hunt, right? And so I'm doing that for several minutes. And if you've ever done that, you know how that works. Minutes turns into half an hour, and I'm going through it, and I'm really enjoying this stuff, and I flip through, I flip past one finished video, and all of a sudden, I'm watching something I really don't need to see. And it caught me off guard. I'm sitting there watching, wait a minute, I'm watching hunting. This is not hunting. Well, it might be hunting, but it's not for what I'm hunting for, right? And the thing I didn't really think about, and it wasn't horribly bad, but you know, it was just distasteful and something I didn't need to see. The longer I watched it, the more disgusted I became. So I just flipped through. But see, I didn't realize the longer you stay on a video, the more they will feed you that kind of video. So I began to start getting just garbage. Things that I didn't want to see. And I'm like, where did my hunting videos go? That's what the world does. The more you look, the more you stop and take notice, the more the world feeds you things you do not need to see. You do not even want to see in the beginning. You know, the more violence you watch, the more violence the world will feed you. Hollywood media kind of thing. The more sex you watch, the more that Hollywood will feed you. You know, I've heard people complain, there's nothing worth watching anymore. You know, it's all sex and violence and it's bad. And it is. But do you know why they keep making those movies? Because people keep watching those movies. And they keep feeding on those movies. We can blame the media. We can blame Hollywood, but you know, you've got to back up and ask yourself the question, do you watch those movies? Do you watch those videos? And understand what's happening. It's all designed to influence you and the way that you think and the way that you act. Not only are we influenced by media, we're influenced by the culture. You know, culture is just getting stronger and stronger today. And most especially our youth, and you may have heard this as a parent. Have you ever heard, everyone else is doing it? But mom, everybody else is doing it. Dad, all my friends are. Well, since everybody else is doing it, it must be okay, right? That's what the culture would say. You see, our culture today says sex outside of marriage is well and good. It's natural. It's okay. Go ahead. And then the result of that is, of course, unwanted pregnancy. And got to deal with the harvest of your sin. And we've had to decide that to deal with the unwanted pregnancies, abortion must be okay. That's what the culture says. It's not, but that's what they say. And then the culture, it takes one step and goes deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. We go from sex outside of marriage to things like abortion to things like homosexuality. Well, that's just an alternate lifestyle. I mean, everybody should be able to choose the life that they want to live. It's okay. That's what the culture says. Since homosexuality and all that other stuff is okay, it must be okay too. This transgender thing that's going on, where you decide whether you're going to be a male or female. And we're going to get into that in depth a little later on, but the world is saying, oh, that's all good. And you have to understand, parents, this is what your kids are getting in school. And you better talk to them about it today, because you can bet tomorrow it's going to be in the classroom. See, the culture says you can be whatever you want to be. Male, female, homosexual, whatever. Now the thing is, and this amazes a poor old naive preacher, but now the thing is that not only can you identify as a man or a woman, and everybody's supposed to honor that, now you can identify to being whatever you want to be, and including animals. I would have argued, but I would have lost the argument. A school in the state of Arkansas was having to accommodate children who identified as cats. But it's okay, because you can be whatever you want to be. And you should be accepted being whatever you want to be, just as you are. That's what's going out in our culture. As a matter of fact, our culture doesn't only say it's okay. They promote it and praise it. If you'll notice, that's what's honored in today's culture. What's going on? Well, I think the big fuel for the fire is coming from academia, our education system. There's a lot going on in our education system, but the big thing I believe that is creating where we're going is that evolution, or the theory of evolution, is being taught as fact. And children and college students and whoever you are, understand the very word theory does not mean fact. It just means somebody's best guess. But it's not being taught as that. They have taught evolution that man was an accident of nature, and that he evolved over periods of millions and billions of years. There's a very deep Greek meaning word there. It's called baloney. But see, here's the real problem with it. We'll talk more in depth about these things. But here's the real problem. What we're telling, or what you're telling the children, is that they were an accident of nature and there is no hope for them in the future. That this life is all there is and it's as good as you get, so you better get all you can get before you get to the end, because when you die, it's over. And as they live life, they'll discover that there are disappointments, there are hardships, there are difficulties that they have to deal with, and they're going to say, is this all there is? But this is being pushed. Here's the real problem. Now, all the stuff I just talked about, we can't be surprised, because that's just the world acting like the world. That's sinners being sinners. The problem is when believers or professing Christians allow themselves to be shaped by this world view. Okay? You see, what has happened over a period of time is it has grown and grown and grown, and we've heard it so much that we've become desensitized to sin. And no longer does sin seem to really bother us anymore. You know, oh yeah, it's two men together. No, you know, that's just where we live. Not a big deal. Man and woman's clothes, yeah, that's just where we live. It's not a big deal. You know. First thing you know, it slips into our families. And boy, we get so desensitized that we can't see clearly anymore. Right and wrong. I have this really good optometrist. I say that because she's sitting back there. And she is really good, by the way. Y'all know Miss Malia. A couple of years ago, I went through a period of... Beth would tell me, your glasses are terrible. I'm like, I'm good. Beth would come back a few days later. Your glasses are horrible. Pitiful. I'm good. I see. I can see. You know, and we went on for months. And I'd look. No, they're good. I'm not. Went on for months. And till one day when Miss Malia walked up to me after church and she looked at me and she said, what have you done? And this was a deer in a headlight look for me. I don't know. What do you mean? She said, your glasses are horrible. I said, oh. Maybe my wife wasn't just being a wife. And maybe they really do look bad. Malia said, you come see me. So I went to see her. We ordered a new pair of glasses, and I put them on. I was amazed. It was like I could see. I was like, wow, I can read. There are words on these pages. I see people's faces. And I still remember sending the text, thank you so much. I didn't even know I couldn't see. The moral to that story is always listen to your wife. No, the moral of that story is when the lens that we're looking through becomes so scratched that we really can't see things as they truly are. Christians, as Christians accept more and more of the secular worldview, it scratches. That's why you see churches accepting things that you know do not belong in church. But after you've been around it so long and you've been near it, you know, why not? After all, that's not so bad. There's always something worse. But it's always interesting that something worse always comes next. That's why this is so very important. Today, you've got to decide what lens you're going to look through. And you can't look through two lenses. You can't be a Christian on one day and look through the lens of the world the next day. You've got to decide what kind of worldview you're going to have. Because the world is trying to shape you. You're going to have to be very intentional if you want to be transformed. Which is what Paul said. Don't be conformed or don't be shaped by the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now that word transform, it means to change in appearance. But the change is not just an outward appearance. It's a change on the inside that reflects also on the outside. In other words, you're noticeably different than everybody else. And here's how you do that. It starts and it ends up here. You see, he said, be transformed. Just to say be transformed doesn't work. You can make all the personal commitment. I'm going to do better. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to be more faithful in church. You can do all that you want. But there has to be something behind that transformation if you're truly going to be changed. That's why he said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You've got to have a new mind. You've got to be new on the inside before you'll be new on the outside. Say, okay, Brother Doug, how do you renew your mind? I'm glad you asked. You really want to know that, don't you? Amen? You renew your mind by the Word of God. The Bible. Now listen, you can't read it like a book, like you would read some novel or some biography. It's not a novel. It's not a biography. It is the Word of God. And it is the most beneficial tool that you can possibly have as a child of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I meant to put that on the screen, but I left it out. So please forgive me. But 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is inspired. You know what that word inspired means? It means God breathed. You know, I've heard people say, well, the Bible was just written by men anyway. No, it wasn't. Oh, the men may have been holding the pen, but God was breathing the words. Okay? Don't let people pull that on you when they're trying to tear down your faith that, well, the Bible is just written by men. No, it was inspired. It was God breathed. Now listen, if God breathed a word, don't you want to know what that word is? If God breathed a word, a message to you, don't you think that this word it is beneficial to you? All Scripture is given by inspiration by God and is profitable. That word profitable means valuable, and here's where we have the problem. We really don't think it's valuable. Because if we really thought it was valuable, we would get into it. Listen, if you tell me something that, if I have a horrible disease and you tell me something, okay, Brother Doug, here's the instruction. Here's, 10 steps. written on a piece of paper. You take this piece of paper, you read it, you apply it, and you'll be healed. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take that piece of paper. And I'm not just going to read it. I'm going to memorize it. I'm going to know it. I'm going to, whatever step one is. Okay, that's step one. That's what I'm going to do. Step two, that's what I'm going to do. Step three, that's what I'm going to do. Don't you realize that the Word of God is God's message to you to deliver you from a sin-cursed world? If we're going to have a biblical worldview, we're going to have to decide God's Word is valuable. It's valuable enough to spend time in. It's valuable enough to come to Sunday school and learn about. It's valuable enough to come to preaching and learn more what's in that book. Because what's in that book will take care of everything that you will face in this life. Now, I'm not saying it'll make everything go away. No, sir, it will not make the hardship go away. But it will teach you how to deal with the hardship. It won't keep Satan from attacking you, but it'll teach you how to deal with the attacks of Satan. You see, when we decide that truly it is valuable, we're going to treasure it for what it really is. And we're going to get into it. And we're not going to read it, you know, I've told you this before, but I'll tell you again today. You know, don't just read the Bible because you're supposed to. Read it as God speaking to you, because that's what it is. When you open your Bibles, God, what do you want to say to me today? That's what the Bible is intended to be. And you see, once you decide, and that's why I say you've got to make up your mind. You've got to transform the inside so the outside can change too. You've got to make up your mind. Yes, God does know what He's talking about. It makes me cringe when people say, well, the Bible's not relevant anymore. Are you kidding me? Come on. This is God's Word. It is relevant. And once you realize how valuable it is and you begin to get into it and take it for what it really is, it affects the way you respond to life. For example, how you respond to world events. Do you remember on 9/11? Some of you weren't around yet, but when the airplanes crashed into the Twin Towers. If you had a biblical worldview, you knew how to respond to that. If you have a biblical worldview, you know how to respond when somebody cuts you off in traffic. If you have a biblical worldview, you know how to respond when you get on Interstate 40 and two trucks are in front of you, both doing 60 miles an hour. Yeah, I know. If you have a biblical worldview, you know how to respond when you go through the drive-thru and they get your order wrong, your food order. And you get home and you open the bag and, I didn't order this. When you have a biblical worldview, you know how to respond to the political environment. And I'll give you this, as far as we're going to go on this today, I'll give you insight. You never be bitter. You never attack people. Even when other people are wrong. I go back to the way Jesus dealt with sinners. Jesus never participated in their sin, but He did go and eat with them. He did influence them. And He did call them out of the life of sin. And they responded to that. You see, that's a biblical worldview. Why should we? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the Word of God, that we may prove. Here's the why. That word prove means to demonstrate. Okay? The idea is that you're changed, you're transformed, so that you may demonstrate that God's way really does work. Here's who you've got to demonstrate it to. Number one, you've got to demonstrate it to yourself. You want to know why you don't do what the Word of God says? It's because you don't believe what the Word of God says. Oh, yes, Brother Doug, I believe it. No, if you believed it, you would act on it. I love you, and I tell you that in love, but that's just a fact. That's just a fact. So you need to know. And not only do you need to know that God's way really does work, the world needs to know that God's way really does work by looking at you as you demonstrate God's way to the world. This world will not believe God's way is the best way until God's people prove it to them. And the only way to prove it to them is to live it right in front of their eyes so they can see it. John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal or to kill and to destroy." I don't want to stop right there. There's a thief. And he is doing his best to destroy your life by his influence. You know, I look at marriages that fall apart because of adultery and I think, why did you do that? Why did you do that? That's the why. There's a thief out there. His name is Satan. And he is real. And his goal is to kill and destroy you. The thief has come to kill and destroy, but I came, this is Jesus speaking, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Do you believe that? It's decision time. Biblical worldview introduction, number one. Decide today. Is God right? Absolutely, God's right. If God is right, then shouldn't I practice what God says? Biblical worldview. Shouldn't I apply what God says about marriage to my marriage? Shouldn't I apply to what God says about loving people, even to the people who do me wrong? Absolutely. You see, when you believe God's way is really best, it's best for you, it brings glory to God, and it's best for all those around us, you begin to live it. That's why I say you've got to decide. Have you ever known someone that, you know, when they decided to do something, they went whole hog? Yeah. There are people that if they decide they like these hobbies, they pick up a hobby and they don't just go halfway, but they get the very best of the best and they learn from the best teachers and they do everything that they could possibly do to be the best. They go whole hog. It doesn't matter what it costs. It doesn't matter what it takes as far as energy and efforts. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a good thing if you want to be good at something. You learn from the best. You use the best, right? That's the idea of biblical worldview. There is no room in Christianity for half-hearted, half-way, fence-straddling Christianity. You'll be walking around with those scratch glasses, getting used to the way the world is and the message the world's feeding you. You know, I used to get angry at certain things that I disagreed with. You know, immorality, ungodliness, you know, used to make me angry. But now I just feel sorry for people. Because I know there's a better way. You see, I'm convinced 100%, no doubt, no question, God's way is the best way. Therefore, today I want to stand before you and I want to share with you, I want to have a biblical world view. Now, is that to say I'll be perfect? No. Okay, I'm still dealing with this earthly body. And so it doesn't say I'm going to be perfect. But I want to reflect the awesomeness of my God by the way I live. The only way I can do that is by having a biblical world view. I have made that decision. Today, I'm asking you to make that decision also. As a member of Victory Missionary Baptist Church, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to ask you to decide that there's no compromise. God's way. Period. I don't have to give in to the pressures of the world, the pressures of school. I don't have to give in to the pressures of friends or the pressures of work. It's God's way. Why? Because I've committed my way to Jesus Christ. Because that's the basis of our effectiveness as children of God. Today, decide. And when you decide, you understand that it is a lifelong commitment. Don't mean it gets tough tomorrow and you bow down, oh, well, I knew I couldn't do it. No. It's a lifelong commitment. But I'll tell you this. When it does get hard, you have a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ, and He's promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You have a Savior who is working all things for your good, those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. You have a Savior that will not leave you high and dry. And when this life is through, you have a Savior that has prepared a place eternal in the heavens. That'll never, ever, ever fade away. Glory to God, we have something to look forward to. But let's use this time wisely and live with a biblical worldview. Now, you may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're just going through life listening to the message of the world. Let me tell you this, the world's going to disappoint you. You're going to get to the end of life and you're going to discover it was all for nothing. And then you're going to close your eyes in death and that teacher that taught you that once you die it's all over, you're going to realize he or she was a liar. Because you will open your eyes in hell, a place of torment that the flame never goes out. But then it's going to be too late. Now, the good news is this. Jesus Christ died because you're a sinner. He gave Himself. He died to pay for your sin so that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that all you have to do today is accept or receive Jesus Christ to yourself. Accepting the sacrifice that He made on your behalf. By calling upon Him to be your Savior. Today, if you don't know Jesus, my challenge to you is start your walk with Him today. Call upon the name of the Lord. You say, Brother Doug, how can you be so sure? I can be so sure because that in the Word of God, Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that is written in such a way that there is no question that if you'll call, Jesus will save you. Will you do that today? Our Father in heaven, as we come to this invitation, I pray your will be done. Oh, Father, help us to have a biblical worldview. That as we go into the future, that we, with all sincerity and diligence, will look at everything going on around us through the lens of the Bible. So that we may demonstrate, Lord. So that we may prove your good ways, your perfect ways, for all to see. Now we pray your will be done in this invitation. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.